Welcome to Church of Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
The Bible says, Jesus said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He said, what's it easier for me to do, to forgive you for your sins or take up your bed and walk? You know why? They were both paid on Calvary. It's so easy for us to believe Jesus to be born again, but isn't it funny how we struggle with healing? And we all do. But yet he paid for them at the same time. And that's where sometimes we have faith in other areas, but there's that area that the enemy just resists us and we fight the mind battles. But God says that it's all the same to him. So when we can get that revelation, Lord, it's just as easy for you to say, take up your bed, be healed, or my sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Who you really are, part three. The last part. But we're living in a time, people, that God is purifying his church. I was listening to that this morning about the purification that's happening around the world. Why? Because he's getting the bride ready. I'm seeing Christians go back into the world, and I'm seeing those that have been in the world coming out and finding Christ and serving the Lord. Jesus said it's not, he said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Lord, help us to finish well. Amen? We all want to finish well. And that's why we're here. But who you really are in God and who God is in you. Let's go to 1 Peter again, our main scripture. And let's look at this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Now, the Passion says this, for at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you are drenched with it, living godly lives. My divinely loved friends, since you are residents, aliens, and foreigners in this world, I appeal to you to divorce yourselves from the evil desires that wage war within you. The first point I want you to give you is we are adopted people of God. We are the adopted people of God. Now, do you remember when Peter was in Joppa? And when he was in Joppa, he was on the roof waiting till the food was done, and there was a sheet that came down from heaven and was full of all the unclean things that the Jewish people were never allowed to eat. And he saw it in a vision, and he saw this sheet come down, and the Lord said, hey, Peter, get up and eat. Now, I never thought about this, but Peter was waiting for dinner to be prepared down there, and then the Lord brings that down, and Peter says, nothing unclean ever touches these lips. And the Lord did it three times to him, and finally the vision left. But at the same time, Cornelius, a centurion of the Roman government, was coming that way. He had a vision that he was to go to Joppa and find Peter. And when he found Peter, Peter understood the dream that came down, that God was wanting them to preach to the Gentiles. Okay, let me explain what Gentiles are. Gentiles were every group of people outside of Israel, outside of the Jewish law, outside of the Jewish heritage. They were considered nations of Gentiles. They were looked down upon. They weren't God's people. And the Jews considered them heathens, and that's what it was. And so Peter finally had to realize that God, that salvation wasn't just for the Jewish people, but it was for the Gentiles and all the nations of the world. So this scripture here that we just read had to do with Peter telling them that they once weren't a people, but now they are. This whole thing had to do with God bringing the Gentiles in. So for the people, Peter was writing to a in our passage, Christianity seemed to these people like everything was Jewish and foreign. The Gentiles, can you imagine how they felt? They were outsiders, and all of a sudden Peter is sharing with them that salvation's for them too. Because the Jews found their identity, they found it in their race, they traced their ancestry back to Abraham. Well, we're of Abraham. You know, they would brag on it. Isaac and Jacob and Judah, and through the whom they the promised Messiah was gonna come. They prided themselves in their family tree that they were the people of God. And so the Jewish heritage, that's what the Gentiles would look at them and just say, well, we're just nothing but outcasts to them. The first Christians and their missionaries were all Jews. They preached the Jewish Savior. They preached from the Jewish scriptures story after story of how through the centuries the Gentiles and the non-Jews had often tried to destroy and corrupt the Jews and keep the Savior from ever being born. And that was in the mind of the Jewish mindset. Does this sound like a welcoming religion to the Gentiles? Not at all. Romans 11:17 says, "And you who were once nothing more than a wild olive branch in the desert." He's talking about the Gentiles, okay? "God has grafted in, inserting you among the remaining branches as joint partner." I like that. We are now joint partner to share in the wonderful riches of the cultivated olive stem. So what he was saying is that we've been grafted into Jesus. He's the roots, the tree, and we are grafted in. And some of the branches, Israel, were broken off because of unbelief. And they're still broken off. And so we were grafted in. We are now joint heirs, partners with Jesus. And we are a part of the adopted family and the people of God. And that's exciting to know that. Non-Jewish believers are to be grateful for our roots in the Jewish faith. Thank God for the Jewish faith and the roots, because everything right now is pointed at Israel. In the last days, Israel is right now at the forefront of everything, because that's where the last battle is going to happen. We stood and we looked over the battle of Armageddon in the valley of Armageddon, Megiddo Valley, when we were in Israel. And we saw this big valley, and in my mind, when I was looking at this, I was thinking that it said that the battle was so intense that the blood came up to the bridles of the horse. That's how much bloodshed was in that valley. Again, the last battle against God's people and against Satan. And when you looked out over that, and you begin to see what God is doing in the end times, what's happening in the end times, our Messiah is Jewish. In the scriptures, we're given by the beloved Jewish people themselves. We feast on the new covenant. That's where we are. We look at the new covenant. It's established upon better promises. The new covenant riches that we've been handed down to us through the olive tree of Judaism. Now listen, a lot of people are still against the Jews and they call themselves Christians. This is unbiblical as can be, because all of our roots come from Jewish roots background as Christianity came. Peter reminds us, the Gentile believers here, and how special it was that they've been welcomed in. They too had been adopted into God's family. Once he said, "You were not a people, but now you are the people of God." How different it must have sounded to the Gentile ears. They were the people of God too, because that's all they ever heard. Israel, Israel, Jewish people, we're nothing, we're heathens, we're, you know, idol worship, all that different thing. And then God says, I died for them too. And I'm welcoming them then into partnership with me in the kingdom of God. Adopted as sons and daughters. They were no longer outsiders, but belonged to God. This was their new identity. Galatians 4, 5, and 6, let's look at this. "Yet all of this was so that he would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as children." Aren't you glad you're a child of God? aren't you glad that God decided that it wasn't just the Jewish people, but it was the whole world? It was all the nations of the earth. See, God had called the Jewish people for a reason. Do you know that he called them to declare the praises of him in the whole world? It was the Jewish people that God called first. They were the ones that were supposed to go to all the nations of the world and tell them about the Messiah. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't give their life to, they wouldn't respond to God. They wouldn't respond in the desert. And therefore, yeah, people were getting saved during the time of Jesus when he preached the gospel. But you notice Jesus always said, go first to the house of Israel. Why? Because they were mandated as God's people to go into all the world, and they were to preach the gospel to every person. And they didn't do it. Now, Paul and all of them got born again, you notice that Paul was one of the greatest Jewish minds, taught under one of the greatest people in Judaism. Now, you think Paul would go to the Jews and he debated with them in the temples and he did all this. You know where God called him? To the Gentiles. And he called Peter to the Jews. And yet it was Peter that got the vision of this, about the Gentiles being adopted into the family of God. So in Galatians, we see that it had the full adoption. In verse 6, it says, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out instantly, my Father, you art our true Father. That's what that really means. Abba, Father. Abba, Father means my Father, you are our true Father. We can call God just like the Jewish people could call on God. It is a privilege and a right to have the opportunity to go to church and to be able to call on God. There's a lot of places that can't do that. We as Christians need to make sure all sinners know that they're welcome. This is a place that they can find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What kind of people might feel very foreign in church? I mean, a lot of people do. Well, I don't belong there. I hear people say, well, I hear people that I talk to, some of the bikers, well, I don't, man, the roof would cave in if I came. Just different things like that. But do we really welcome people in? But this was the whole thing that God welcomed the Gentiles. How much more are we to welcome other people into the kingdom of God? Now, think about this. Or that people might feel there ain't the right kind of people for sitting in churches. How many ever felt like that? I have. What do we do to draw them in? We pray. We just believe. We begin to share our faith, and we begin to declare the praises of God, who called us out of darkness. And we'll get into that. The more we remember how special it is that we too could be included in God's promise, I will be their God and they will be my people. The more living and daring confidence we have to leave our comfort zones and to make sure even the unlikeliest people feel welcome among the people of God when we declare the praises of God. Number two, write this down. We are temporary residents just passing through. How many can't wait to see, to go to heaven? I know, not right now. But don't you sometimes have those days where you're going, I'm ready? Where you're going, heaven's looking good. Oh, yeah. Because our hearts are set on eternity. That's what the scriptures say. Our hearts are set for eternity. I can't wait till the day comes that we all end up in heaven for eternity. I just can't wait. I'm longing for it more and more, for the Lord's return. Don't get me wrong, people. There's things that we've got to do, things that we've got to get ready for. But I'm longing for that. I'm just passing through this place. There is nothing here that holds my attention compared to heaven and eternity. Nothing. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So he's again declaring to, not, I believe he's, the Jewish people should have understood this, but he's declaring it to the nations and to the Gentiles and to the people that God invited in. Peter calls us foreigners and exiles. Listen, people, we're not from here. Not anymore. We used to be of the earth, but our nationality isn't from a country here anymore. We're citizens of heaven. We're foreigners, aliens. We literally belong to another place that's out of this world. Amen? We belong to another place that's out of this world. But sometimes we find ourselves trying to fit in with the world around us. I can't figure out why people feel the world has so much to offer, but yet there's so much heartache in their lives. You look at Hollywood, so glamorous. Everybody wants to be an American Idol. Everybody wants to win American Idol. They want to do all these things because that's where their identity is. But our identity is not based on the world. It's based on who we are in God and who God is in us. Those people, don't let them fool you, have a soul too that they need Christ to fill. And without Christ, their lives are, they're just as miserable as anybody else. So we find people just trying to fit in when we already fit into a greater city of God. 1 John 2:15, let's look at this. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of this world. Is it wrong to have nice things? No. Is it wrong to have a nice car, nice house, this, that? No. That's not what he's saying. But when you set your affections on those things, people set their affections on these things sometimes when they show up to church once a month or once every 2 months. I begin to wonder where their affections are. They're so busy. Well, I got to do this. I got to go here. I got this. I got that. And we don't have time for God anymore. But when we set our affections not on this world, or in the loving the things of this world, the love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. Now, when we read this, look at verse 16. For all that the world can offer us, there's three things I want you to see. Gratification of our flesh, the allurement of things of the world, and the obsession with the status and the importance. None of these things comes from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are in the process of passing away. But those who love to do the will of God will live forever. Do you know that one day, all this is going to be gone? And there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. All this stuff is gone. Yes, Peter even says enjoy the things. But there's a difference between enjoying the things in the world and being of the world. And when I talk about being of the world, being in the structure of the world, because remember when Satan came to Jesus and he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms if you'll bow down and worship me. He's doing the same thing here to people. Offering all this stuff that they think is so important and they're missing the whole reason why we're here. And so we see here that the world and its desires are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God live forever. If anyone persists in loving the world, he's saying there's no love for the Father in him. Because what happens is the more the world comes in, the less the Father is important. The more the world comes in, the Father goes out. Those are the three areas of temptation that the serpent used with Adam and Eve in the garden. to pull them away from the Father. And what the devil used to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the gratification of the flesh. Do you see all this? He wanted Jesus to look at all the worlds and out there, and he said, all this is yours if you'll just worship me. And then he enticed him. He showed him with his eyes, and then he began to entice him. That was the one of the allurement of the things of the world. And then he said that he could, took him up to the pinnacle, and he said, all these things I'll give you. He wanted him to worship him, but he could also own all this stuff. Status. Oh, if I could just have status. Man, if I could just be like so-and-so, if I could just be like them, I would feel important. I would feel good. How long will that last? Amen? It doesn't last very long. It doesn't last very long. And Satan's an expert at using these cravings to delude our love for the Father and cause us to turn our affection to the things of this life. But the values of the kingdom of God are setting our affections, people, on things above. That's what he said. Living in the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, and humility, which always waits for God's timing of promotion. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God, but God says, wait on my timing. Wait on my timing. Wait on my timing. People are always in a hurry to gratify the flesh, and when they get ahead of God, the next thing you know, they're miserable and they're realizing, I miss God. We've all done it. We, in certain areas, we've all done it. And if we will just learn to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, you got a better idea than I do. You got a better way than I do. Because if I get in there, I'm going to mess it up. Living for the world system and the desire to be in the world system leaves God out of the picture completely. That will one day come to an end. Planet Earth is not fading away here, but the systems and the structure and the world order are going to. It's all going to come to an end. And Jesus is going to reign supreme on the throne in Israel. Amen? During the millennium. Are there times we would do anything not to seem out of place with other people? Sometimes people do that. Peter did it. You know what Peter did? He knew what that was like. He denied the Lord that he ever knew Jesus in order to fit in being persecuted. Well, I don't want to be persecuted. So he just denied Jesus 3 times. Said, I don't even know the guy. Never heard of him. You got the wrong man. He later broke down and wept over his shameful denial. And we need to be comforted in the identity God gives us. He calls us his own people. Forgiven, holy, special to him. That identity gives us peace. It gives us shalom, knowing who you are in God. See, people can tell you who you're not to your face. Well, you're just this, this, this. But you know who you are in your heart from God. Then it doesn't affect you. We learn to grow in the world we live in, understanding that God is bigger than everything else. God is for us. He's not against us. And people can trash you all they want. But God protects you and reminds you of who you are in him. You're an adopted child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God himself has adopted you and given you a new identity. You're forgiven. You're holy. You're special to him. And that gives us peace knowing that. We don't live to serve our sinful appetites. Instead, we live to serve Jesus in the world we live in. And when we show love to those who mistreat us, welcome the outcasts, forgive those who hurt us, reject impure entertainment, or give our time and energy and dollars to show our thanks to Jesus, people think we're weird. But you know what? I'd rather be weird for God than wrong with people. Have you ever had anybody say, you're just different? Man, that person's weird. They're just overboard. Well, can't you just, you know, tone it down a little bit? You don't have to talk about Jesus all the time. Can't you just be normal? I am normal. I really am the normal one. I'm just an outcast in the wrong world. It's because of Jesus. The works of service we do will have a different impact, people. They will lend weight to our words when we walk, talk about what our Savior has done. Seeing our good deeds, others will know we just don't talk the talk, but we walk the walk. Some will want to hear why, and through the gospel may someday glorify God. They see there's something different about us. You know why? We're just passing through. Well, why doesn't this all get you bent out of shape? Look what's happening to the world. I'm just passing through. This ain't my home. I got a better home. Why aren't you worried about all this that's coming into the world? And no, I'm not. My job is to pray. My job is to declare the praises of Him to people that don't know Him, and that's my job. The rest is all fluff. We're just strangers. Heaven's our home. And with this foreign identity, we find a bold confidence that we're willing to live for God no matter what. Write this down, point number three. We are lights in a dark world. We are lights in a dark world. Verse 9 says, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Aren't you glad you're called? Amen. Aren't you glad somebody spoke to you? Colossians 1:12, let's look at this. Always thanking the Father, He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, why would I want to go back into the world when God's transferred me into the light? Light has no fellowship with darkness. An unbeliever has no right to be with a believer, or a believer with an unbeliever. It just doesn't work. That's what Jesus said. He said, it's like one pull in one direction, one pull in the other direction. What fellowship has light with darkness? There is no fellowship with darkness. Only with light. God sent rescuers to call us out of the darkness by His gospel. Thank you that Dave Wilkerson had enough guts to come to a city. And I heard the gospel for the first time. He was obedient. You know how that happened? Two farmers prayed for 3 years that God would send somebody to Bismarck, North Dakota to get a hold of the kids. 3 years they prayed. Two farmers? Lord, we got a problem here. And even some of the Catholic priests were involved in it. We got an epidemic here. Yeah. I was with that epidemic. We were in that. I needed God. Thank God that God sent a rescuer. Years later, when I was going to Bible college, when I was talking to Dave Wilkerson, we had a meeting with him in the backstage before he spoke. Met with him about 2 or 3 times. It was great. But here's the thing, he told me. I tell him about Bismarck, North Dakota. Brother Dave, I said, you remember Bismarck, North Dakota in 1972? He said, oh my golly, yeah. He said, that was one of the greatest outpourings I've ever seen. Ever seen. In all the years as a pastor, as a preacher. Greatest outpourings. I said, I was a part of that. I said, I remember when you looked at me and you pointed your finger right in my face as a sophomore in high school, and you pointed in my face, you said, are you going to give your life 100% to Jesus? I was crying so hard that I couldn't even say, yeah. Turn that place upside down. Next day at high school, everybody was carrying Bibles. The guys that had long hair and were all the drug addicts were the ones that cut their hair and were wearing clean clothes. So you got to remember that was back still in the flower child, the hippie movement. See, we wore bell bottoms. Yeah. We had bell bottoms and flares. Now, I didn't get into the bell bottoms. I stayed with my flares, you know. You could get me in a pair of those today. And some of that stuff has, you know, come back and say, oh, it's I want away from that. These are fine right here. Aren't you glad that God sent a rescuer to you? He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what God did. Where would we be if somebody would have never, ever told us about God? We'd be lost, dead, or in prison. Somewhere we would be. I know I wouldn't be alive today. The light exposes. God sent rescuers to call us out of darkness by his gospel. Now we're in the light, people. We can see clearly now. The light exposes our sin, but the light of the world has removed our sin. It also removed it. Matthew 5:14, let's look at this. We're going to close with this scripture. Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine in the light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. Now, listen, we're urged to let our light shine before people that they may see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. That's our job. God called us out of the darkness and transferred us into light so that we could declare the praises of him to other people. This isn't about me hanging on to what I have and say, it's me, that's mine, I'm going to heaven, that's all I need. But it's about sharing the love of Jesus with people that don't know him and declaring his praises and telling people, I'm excited. You know what God did for me? Oh my golly, God saved me. And he transferred me into his kingdom. Out of the darkness. Let me tell you about the love of God. Let me tell you where I was and what God did for you. That's the greatest testimony and the greatest gospel you could ever preach to someone. Right there is your testimony about what God has done. That's how simple it is. But if all they see is good works, now there's people that do great and good works. I'm going to let everybody know that I gave $1 million to this. You know, when we hear Hollywood, somebody gives $1 million, I'm thinking they're multi-billionaires. A million's nothing. We got people in the church that have nothing that give more than they do. Well, how can that be? Because the widow that came in and gave her last two, and Jesus said she gave more than the Pharisees did. It wasn't the amount. It's what they had left over, and it was the heart of the whole matter. He said the Pharisees were coming in and dumping into the treasures, but that was out of their abundance. They might have had $1 million, but they maybe gave $10, and they thought that was great. We thought we did God a favor. And then a woman comes in, and that's all she had was two mites. And Jesus watched her walk up and dump those last two mites. That's all she had. She probably was wondering where her next meal was going to come from, but she honored God. And God turned to the disciples, and he said, she gave more than all those people did. God sees all. He sees our hearts. He called us out of darkness. We need to declare the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We shine a spotlight on our Savior as we proclaim the works to others. We talk about what he's all about. Listen, in all this we talked about, God called us a royal priesthood. We are focused on the royal aspect of that. We're also priests. We're priests who speak to the people of the people, to the people of God on God's behalf. We're mediators between man and God. We're being priests, bringing them before the Lord. Our job is to be that rescue party that goes looking for those that are lost in darkness and in unbelief, and to shine the light of the gospel, to bring them into God's wonderful light, from darkness to light. That's what God's called us to do. Who are we? Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who we are. This is our identity, people. And with this identity, we find a living, bold confidence that's excited and ready to search for others and give them the gospel light. Thank you, God, for the rescuers that came into our life. Thank you. Do you know how many people have gone into eternity without God? And here we are as God's people. What a privilege and honor to be alive and to know Jesus and to know our sins are forgiven. That one day when we give our last breath, we're going to heaven. Are we ready? Are people really ready? Are they so in love with the world that the world has more to offer than God does? Even in the tough times, you know, people go, well, you know what, it's not working for me. And Christians go back into the world. I'm just going to live for the devil. You know, God's not doing anything for me. You missed the big show that's coming. Because God will show up when you least expect it. And he's going to. He's going to. Our identity is in him. My identity is not in the old Audie Claremont, the old man it used to be. It's not in the party and scene anymore. It's not into the drugs. It's not into the dumbest, stupidest stuff I did. None of that is. But my new identity is knowing what Jesus did for me and knowing what he did for you. And every morning when we wake up, we should be thankful and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Because I could be lost. I could be dead without you. And people that go into eternity without God, that scares me. That scares me. Family members that we've been praying for, that will just snoot their nose at you and say, I'm just living my own life and I'm going to do what I want to do. Little do they know that God is bigger than them. Amen? God's got their number. Don't quit praying for family because God's got their number. You know, I was, like I said, I was the first one to get saved out of 8 kids. But I guarantee you, I wasn't going to heaven by myself. And through the years, my testimony, even if I didn't say anything, spoke volumes to my family that they all came. Every person in my family are born again, ready for heaven. I thought about this scripture. Remember that one when Paul and Silas were in jail? And the earthquake came and it shook the foundations of the... And the jailer came in and he was all flipping out because they were all gone. And he came into the darkest dungeon down there with the light. And Paul said, hey, we're here. We're here. Do you know what would have happened if Paul and those guys would have walked out of there? They would have, all the jailers would have been executed. Any jailer during that time, if a prisoner escaped, they got executed. Plus the prisoner when they found him. And so this jailer's flipping out. After they'd been beaten, they were singing praises at midnight. They were declaring the wonderful works of the Lord with bleeding backs in the dungeon. And as they worship God, it says all the prison heard them. Silas, shh, quiet. Somebody might hear you singing about God. Be very quiet. Are you kidding me? They were just singing praises to God and worshiping him even after they got beat. We'd be complaining, oh, God, I don't got to go through this. They didn't. Come on, we do sometimes. We go, God. Then we think of Paul's side. And all the prison doors open. And this is what it says. The jailer comes in. He says, what do I have to do to get saved? Well, I suppose if the earthquake hits and the gates open and all hell is unleashed and, you know, and everything's done, and I'd come in there and go, what do I need to get saved? Man, wow, this is God. And this is a statement I never forgot. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household will be saved. Now, let me say this. I said that to a missionary one time. I was sharing this in Bangkok, Thailand. He had a church there. He's a missionary. And I was sharing this with the people, and he came to me after, and he says, you can't say that. I said, say what? Because I quoted that scripture, and I said, if you get saved, God said he would save you and your household. Now, maybe I misread that. Maybe Paul was just talking about the jailer. But I have found out that when one person in the family gets saved, a lot of people start coming into the fold. How many know that? There's other people that have gotten saved in your family. But we have to stand on that. I said, Lord, I'm standing on that. That not only me, but my whole household's going to come to Jesus because of you. They still have to make the choice, but I prayed. And Paul said, you and your household. Did Paul know that night the jailer would take him to his house? They would clean his wounds and feed him and Silas. And the whole house got saved and they got baptized. I don't know. Was Paul speaking prophetically, you and your household? A lot of damage happens when we get saved. People either get mad or they get right. Amen? They either don't like you or they love you. But you're still making a difference. Later on, the people that came against you will come to you and go, what do I need to get saved? Just like my brother, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to be no Jesus freak religious person like you. I'm going to party. Goodbye. Out the door he'd go. I'd go in my little bunk and I'd grab my Bible and I'd just pray, Lord, Rodney's wrong. He needs to get right. Lord, save his soul. I didn't even know how to pray. But I just prayed. Well, he got saved. And then he started leading others. Then he started doing this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We have a new identity. Let's live that new identity in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much. Chad, if you get that last song ready, we'll play that. There's so much happening right now, people, in the world we live in. Our focus is not on the world. Our focus is on God. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We enjoy the things of the world, but we do not set our affections on these things. They don't own us. God owns me. Maybe you're at a place in your life. It's time to make some choices for the greatest move of God that's coming. Get our hearts ready. Get our hearts purified. Make it right. Don't justify it. Everybody's doing it. It's just, don't go down that road. The enemy is the biggest deception on that. But Father, this morning, we thank you for what Jesus did for us. He rescued us, Lord. He rescued us. And you loved us so much that you were willing to let your own son die for us. Father, this morning, there's so much happening in the world we live in. But Lord, you told us to be of good cheer because you've overcome the world. We're overcomers in this world, Lord. We're overcomers. We serve the more than enough. You're more than enough. You're El Shaddai. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're everything that we need to declare your praises to those that don't know you. This is why you called us, Lord, to declare to people who you are. You're not a mean God. You're not a bad God. You're a good God. It's your loving kindness and your mercy and grace that drew us in the beginning. And it'll draw others. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to stand strong. Help us to find our places in you and begin to share the love that you've given us. Father, this morning, wake us up. Help us to wake up and begin to see what's happening. Begin to open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We don't want to miss the glory, Lord. We don't want to miss the blessing. But there's things in our lives that we've got to change in order to see this happen. There's things in the churches, Lord, that got to go and bring those things that have to come. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts when we're wrong. Help us to repent and turn away from the things we think are good and right, but they're just deception. They wage war against our souls. They wage war against our minds and our hearts that only you can redeem. So, Lord, as we leave this place today, may we never forget who we are. May we never forget. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.